for some time now, RNIB has been involved in the production of a brand new serial, very funny comedy podcast called You've Got Braille. If you haven't heard it yet, why not? Go to your favourite podcast provider, search for You've Got Braille, and off you go. Now, to tell us more about that and being involved in its production, we have with us Nick Coop and Claire Broughton from Hat Trick Productions. So, something like You've Got Braille, when that comes across your desk, what things go through your head at that point?
We get lots of scripts across our desks here at Hat Trick, and you get used to reading things and sort of, is it good? Is it hoping to get better? Maybe give it the benefit of the doubt sort of thing. I think we both thought this one, when it came in, it just had something really fresh about it. And it was really talking about some issues without ramming them down your throat, which we really liked. And just the gag count was high in a way that felt really real.
You get comedies or dramas that want to talk about a specific point of view, or coming from someone with a lived experience, specific point of view. But Reese, at no point did he want it to sort of be about blindness or sight loss. It was always a funny show first and foremost. And I think that was what really appealed to us.
It's a big selling point, isn't it? That the humour's in there. Someone's smashing those stereotypes and showing up that blind people just have everyday lives like everyone else, got all the flaws that everyone else has as well. It obviously ticked a lot of boxes for you, but after that, perhaps first, I like this, I don't like this. Is there a process you go through to take it a little bit further?
Reese has worked a lot in comedy, and he's actually worked at Hat Trick before. He'd worked on one of, I think, on Have I Got News For You, one of our long-running shows. But he hadn't written a sitcom before, so we paired him up with a writer, Jack Bernhardt, who's written loads of animation and just completely understands that structure of storytelling. So they worked together to sort of take the idea and the characters and the jokes and make it as succinct a piece as possible.
And also, once we'd married those up together, we then had a couple of days in the office, kicked around story ideas that had come up in the initial draft. And what was really interesting then was just hearing a lot of Reese's day-to-day life, and he brought it to life in such a comedic way, just things that would never have occurred to us before, and finding the comedy beats in that. Reese is a great guy. He just has a really good perspective on what he does on a day-to-day basis, and the sort of innate cringeworthy moments and the things that he laughs about afterwards as well. I think it was Reese who said, it's like one of the in-betweeners has grown up, and oh, he happens to be blind. And it was like, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want a slightly grown up in-betweener getting through life, not being an angel, not being a saintly person with sight loss? You know, Reese was very keen to say, not all blind people are perfect. There's a line in one of the episodes where Max, his sister, is commenting on another blind person he's doing a tennis match with. And she said, oh, he takes the train, Paddy. I thought all blind people had to take taxis, but no, that's just you.
I'm blind myself. You know, I use a cane, I use a guide dog. So immediately I listened to the podcast, saw the scripts and things, and just thought, this is great. This is just an everyday guy. He makes mistakes. He's a bit daft at times, but you know, he goes clubbing, he's trying to get a job, he's got relationship, good stuff, bad stuff. But the humour brought across all those little foibles. And you mentioned about the train, or that all blind people can just skip the queue to the front of all the queues.
We also really liked the character of Doreen in Ep 4. So this is the employer that Paddy ends up working for. And she's quite cringeworthy in that she's sort of trying to do everything she feels she needs to do to make his life better, but it's kind of making it a bit worse. So like sitting him near the toilets because it's easy for him, even though he's miles away from the rest of his co-workers, and taking him round the building because there's one step. Reese said, I'm not a Dalek, you know what I mean? It's like I can handle steps. But it was kind of interesting because every so often I'd ask him something and then go, oh God, am I being Doreen? Am I being a bit Doreen? But it's also confronting that thing of when you're working with a partially sighted person, the sort of etiquette of knowing how much to ask, knowing to really ask from the start, how much help do you need? How much help do you want? Because actually that's sort of easier rather than assuming that all these things need to be done. Doreen assumes that he wants the company handbook in Braille. Paddy can't read Braille. But yeah, I did worry I was a bit of a Doreen at times.
What was it, a learning curve for both of you sort of taking part in this? Because obviously you really want to get into not just the storyline, but the characters and understand why they are the way they are.
Practically, it was a massive learning curve.
Yeah, me too.
I've worked with a partially sighted actor before, but never a blind actor, printing scripts. And I thought, oh, well, obviously I'll print a copy of the script for Reese. And then you sort of find yourself the printer being like, hang on a minute. No, that's, you know, like that's sort of how we practically sort of worked with that. Because also there were a lot of lines. And one of the joys of radio is that you don't have to learn your lines. So you can get through a lot more pages in a day. But that's not the case with a blind actor necessarily, because he still has to learn the lines. So working out how we'd feed in the script to Reese in order for him to perform them, and we ended up having his screen reader in an earpiece speaking to him, but then whether that would be picked up on the microphones, whether that meant that there'd be a delay in the pattern of speech, all of that stuff we had to sort of iron out and work with Reese to find the best way of doing that, which was really, really exciting to sort of work out a new way of working.
We also didn't know how long that was going to take in the recording session, so we sort of allowed a bit more time. However, it soon became clear that he was the quickest actor. Because he'd gone over his lines himself, he'd had them in his earpiece, he was just super quick on the takes. Honestly, it was like the best advert for working with partially sighted actors in audio, because it was just like, oh yeah, you know exactly where we are, you're going back exactly. I mean, big up Reese here, but it was
some of the actors didn't even realize that he was listening to his line.
They thought he ahead memorized.
Yeah.
It set the bar quite high. You mentioned Doreen earlier, and when you listen to the four parts, which are fabulous, I'll just keep reminding people of that. When you're listening to it and you listen to the character, like Doreen, like the sister, like even like Paddy's dad, you can totally identify with these people, and they were almost made for the part. It's amazing how you guys can bring these people to life and make them sound, yes, that is the type of person that Doreen would be, or yes, that's how I imagine his sister would absolutely be.
Kudos to Nick, who was instrumental in the casting of this one. I'm going to blow some smoke here, but he brought some really great people to the table. Alison Steadman, Martin Treneman, they were around and they were up for it, because I think they really brought those characters to life.
Steve Pemberton, who plays Paddy's taxi driver, he gets so many offers. He won a BAFTA last year, I think. And they get so, Alison Steadman, Sir Codchlow, they're getting offers every day, but I think the script and the fact that it was something different, and also the quality was so high, really meant everyone wanted to come and be part of it. And yes, we're really lucky that we ended up getting dream casting for every role. And I think that's where you can then elevate something from brilliant scripts to being amazing performances and really 360 degrees.
Milo Mooney as well, who came in and was Nathan at the tennis tournament. Nathan could have been quite smug, and he just made him really lovely, which was in a way worse for Paddy. All of them, I think, just brought really unexpected, great things to the table that just elevated the roles.
What really struck me as well was the whole atmosphere of it, being in the taxi, the traffic outside, the simple things, that doors closing, or even Paddy's dad grabbing a phone. Some of the detail you went into there was quite a mess.
So we have a great sound designer who worked on this, John Wakefield, and he's worked on some big Audible projects that I've done recently, award-winning. So yeah, we were very lucky that he was around and available, and he's meticulous. Over and above your usual sitcom audio fare, I would say, Reese left his blind tennis ball with him to get those sound effects from as well, and things like that. But John goes into a level of detail that's quite amazing. So we were very lucky to have him on board.
What is it like when you get to that final stage, when you hear that the finished product that you want to sign off for? What's it like listening to that for the first time?
It's fun. It's a culmination of things. I would say, though, that both Nick and myself are we're big comedy nerds. And Sophie as well, the director, was really good at this. But there are just those final tweaks you need to make the joke land, like whether it's a pause Or, silence can often be really, really useful in comedy as well. So you're listening to it, and when it's flying, and then there are those final notes, and once they get addressed, you're like, yes, it's singing. And it was lovely to send them off to Reese and Jack as well, because we just got loads of emojis back on the WhatsApp chat.
And hopefully more to come from it as well, because it's to me it's something that has legs to go even further.
Yes, Alan, yes.
Tell everyone, yeah. When you're working on a comedy particularly, you always want to make something that is very specific and in a very specific voice, but also just has a broad appeal to as many people as possible. And I think that's what Reese and Jack really managed with their scripts with this. It's sort of, if you're listening to it as someone with lived experience of being blind or partially sighted, you'll get something out of it that a sighted person might not, but anyone can enjoy it and anyone can associate with the characters. And that's sort of what we wanted and why it would definitely work on BBC One on Saturday night at 9 p.m.
Just saying.
I also think Reese did such a brilliant job of bringing Paddy to life. It's not every writer that can make their main character do that. Sometimes it really helps to have someone else doing it. But as soon as Reese started doing it, it's like, this is so fantastic. He's clearly a talent.
Please, if you haven't checked out You've Got Braille yet, I mean, we've bigged it up enough and it absolutely deserves it. Go to your favourite podcast provider, have a search for You've Got Braille, have a listen, and do let us know what you think. For the moment, though, to Claire and to Nick, thanks to both of you for joining us on R&IB Connect Radio, and good luck with the next projects.
Thanks,
Thank you
Alan.
Very much.
Thank you.